My Bible tells me that we were given dominion. Y'all remember that? We didn't pray to God for the diamond earring to be returned. We agreed and commanded it that come home. It didn't make any difference if I had to walk from Beeville. I didn't care how that diamond got back. It just didn't have any choice. It was commanded to do so. And to prove that it obeyed, it ended up in a place where it was impossible. Y'all understand that? That doesn't just work for diamond earrings. That works for anything that is stolen from you. The Bible says, commands you to recognize it was stolen, recognize who stole it, and demand from him a sevenfold return. So it's not just a matter of commanding it to return. Command the one that attempted the theft to pay. She's got another set coming. Because she already lost one. So we just took care of that one too. I don't know where it's going to show up, but she's going to have two sets. Maybe she'll have to give somebody in here one of those because she don't have four ears. So, thank goodness. You think that's funny? Well, this is the day the Lord hath made. But that wouldn't please Doyle. You'd have to say it louder than that. This is the day the Lord hath made. All right. So you need to come in more often. Praise the Lord. Did you need to say something? Connie.
I'm loud. Okay. I guess I should have said something earlier, but while Candace was singing, I started smelling such a sweetness that it was just whirling around me, and it made me start weeping because that sweetness I could sense was the sweet love of Jesus. And I sensed it real strong over here where Sister Petra is, right over there. And I felt it linger here and whirling about me. And just like a small little, just a little whirlwind. And it was so sweet. I know it's the sweet spirit of the Lord. And I just wondered if anyone else sensed it. I didn't want anyone to say anything because I didn't want it to go away. I wanted to say, shh. Because I was selfish with it. I wanted more of it. But just thank you for that sweet singing because the sweetness is the Lord and He's so sweet.
Amen. Thank you. The Bible says that praise and worship is a sweet smell to God. So that was us that were smelling. Those that were praising God, we were. That's that aroma that's going up. And God responds to worship. He responds to praise. Actually, a lot more than just some of our words. Because when we get into worship, that's heart, and that's what He really is interested in. Amen? Well, did y'all come to learn something tonight? Me too. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we have our learner's heart, not a hard heart. We're open to Your words. We're open to Your Spirit, Your direction, Your guidance. We want to be changed tonight. Change the way we think, change the way we feel. Make us in Your likeness and image. And for that, we'll give You praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody agrees, says, Amen. All right, if you'll bring up the first scripture, Isaiah. This is what's proclaimed on Wednesday night. So on Wednesday night, those that are partaking of it, you will have Isaiah 33:6. I'm sorry, it's my mistake, not his. It's written right there, wrong. There we go. You come on Wednesday night with a learner's heart, you'll have wisdom and knowledge. Will be and give you stability in your time, not on your headstone. Amen? And the strength of salvation. Yeah, how many of you knew that salvation is a strength? A tremendous strength. You will understand that. You will enjoy it. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. The respect, the understanding, the knowing of the Lord. We talked about that a while ago. When we praise with a true heart, we are a treasure to Him. We become more and more a treasure. Amen? All right. I think it was Sunday, since it's on a dinner napkin. The Lord spoke to me a word very clearly enough to where I stopped and wrote it down. And then I had to have her interpret it since it was written on a napkin. But she got it right. Here was the word. Are you ready to hear it? Listen carefully. Maybe it may go by you. It's so simple. To forgive. This, by the way, this is the fourth installment on the covenant teaching. And the title is To Forgive. Where we've been, Pastor Doyle has been going through that very well on Sundays. And it's probably the reason God spoke this to me. Here it is. To forgive, to have power and joy, to be truly forgiven. I must be like Jesus. All right, nothing new. Listen to this one. I must forgive the world even before they seek forgiveness. I have to forgive in total to those that may hate me, that may hang me on the cross. No exceptions. I must forgive the world even before they seek forgiveness. Our problem with forgiveness is we think that as soon as the other party is doing something to receive forgiveness, then we'll forgive. Well, we would be in real trouble if that's the way Jesus did it. Jesus forgave the entire world, even seeing all the perverseness that went on. You understand me? He laid forgiveness out there. That doesn't mean the whole world is forgiven, but it is in His eyes. You understand what I said? The reason I want you to understand this is a covenant is that a covenant takes two parties. And both must perform before there's a covenant. Christianity wants to paint the picture that because Jesus did something, we don't have to. All right. Did you hear what I said? The cheapness of today's religion is this. Jesus shed His blood, now I am forgiven. That is not true. There's no formula that you can find that backs that up. Jesus laid forgiveness out there. Do you understand why He had to do that? Well, we'll talk about it. We'll get there in a minute. Turn to John 3:16. We'll set this verse. We'll give the understanding of the Father. For God so loved the world. All right, number one, the reason that He wanted to forgive is because He loved. For God so loved the world that He gave what? Forgiveness. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him. Uh-oh, there's the two party. There's the second part. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Did you get it? Believe. This belief, the definition of this belief, is anything that I base my life and all my decisions on. Because the devil believes in Jesus and he's not going to heaven. He believes on Him a lot more than most Christians. So the believing here is turning your entire life over to the one that has paid the price. God made a decision that He was going to forgive even those, now listen to this, even those who were going to send themselves to hell. Now I said it that way, exactly the way I wanted it. God is not going to send anybody to hell. In His mind, all are forgiven. But when the books are open, and there's the Word, and there's the life, if it doesn't match up with the Word, you're not going to heaven. You're going to send yourself to hell. Now, does that make sense to you? God's not looking over us, judging us on a day-to-day basis. It's not happening. The Word may be doing that, but He's not. He says they're forgiven. Now, they have a choice. Let's see what they do with it. Please get that clear. God's been blamed for way too much. He's not sending anybody to hell. I got to think about that song you're singing. He knows where every bolt of lightning is going to go. Well, that means that every bolt of lightning never was intended to kill anybody. They just happened to be at the wrong place. They weren't listening to God. You can take that with any tragedy you want. We know His plans, right? They're for good. If we'd listened to Him, we wouldn't be at the wrong place at the wrong time. Now, according to the word that was spoken to me, and now to you, we must do the same as God. Now, in the Bible, the word forgive in some form or another is used over 1,000 times. I don't think you want to hear about all of them. Now, I've got the book printed, but I don't think you want me to read about it all. So I'm going to pick up a couple of familiar scriptures and give you some definitions. In Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Everybody's familiar with this. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? Everybody's familiar with that. How come we don't do that? Listen, we'll back it up again. The Father was looking at them killing His Son. How would you handle that? And He said, Father, forgive them. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Why? Why did He do that? Because he knew what the Father was fixing to do. Don't tell me He wouldn't do it. He did it in Noah's day. He did it with those five cities that were plagued with homosexuality. He said, I'm a jealous God. Jesus is our intercessor. He's the one that runs between us and the law. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Why did He do that? So He could be free. He would not have been His Father's Son without doing that. He would not have accomplished what the Father wanted without doing that. He forgave in advance. This is what I'm trying to get across to you. He forgave in advance. He didn't wait till the deed was done, wrestle with the feelings for 30 or 40 days. He, before the deed was done, even though He saw them all, before the deeds were even done, He forgave them. That's pretty phenomenal. That's pretty amazing. I have a hard time seeing a deed done and just saying, forgive. Looks like I got a little ways to go. How about y'all? Let's look at the definition of this Father, forgive them. Now, I want to tell you that in most cases in the Bible, when you see the word forgive or something that's been translated otherwise, it's going to mean to loose, set it free. Why would that be? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Is that not the case? He's the forgiver, the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to say it to you again. He is the forgiver. He is the price paid. He's the one that forgives all sins. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So when you forgive, you have just become. And without that, there's no way, there's no truth, and there's no life. Okay? Let's look at the definition. You want me to tell you? I don't know if you need to tell you the word. But in this particular case, it means to send forth, to remit, off, away. It denotes separation, departure, cessation, completion, and reversal. Father, forgive them. Send them away. Let me tell you one other thing it says. I'm not demanding it. I will not demand anything of them. I give it up. If Jesus took the sin of the world, He took your problems, He took your discouragements, He took your sins, He took it upon Himself, and then He says, don't hold them accountable. I give it up. I erase it. That's what forgiveness really means. It's up to me now. You mean your freedom is up to me? You're free. That's the way we should be. If I don't forgive you, you're not free. So, be free. It's that simple. We should not make this word forgive too complicated. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Are you familiar with this one? Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Do you understand if you're holding anything against anybody, you've condemned them? You've made a judgment you shouldn't make, and you've condemned them. Because you cannot make a judgment without a condemnation. You can't hold somebody against somebody without trying to take their life away. We're getting nuts in the United States. I saw a deal in the Beeville's paper the other day where some guy committed a crime and they sentenced him for 317 years. Are you nuts? Kill him or slap his hand, but 317 years, that just means I got to pay his bill for as long as he lives. It would have been a whole lot safer to free them and say, don't do it again. Or Jesus would say, don't sin anymore. You don't reckon God can chase that guy down at that word? You don't think God can handle that character? I don't care what his sin is. 317 years, goodness. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. I want you to look at that carefully. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, Jesus became sin. He became the biggest sinner on the face of the earth because He took all of our sins. If that doesn't step on your toes, then say amen. Then how can He be forgiven? If he's the biggest sinner there is, how can he be forgiven? He's got to forgive. There it is. That's the formula, right? Do you understand that if he had to have said, Father, forgive them, he could not have been released from the sin he just took upon himself? The definition. It's a different word, but it means to free fully. If you don't free fully, you will not be fully free. It means to release or dismiss. I don't care what they've done, if you don't release it, if you don't dismiss it, you will not be released or dismissed. I hope you're getting the pressure of this scripture. I'm going to hold off just for a second. It means to pardon. Once again, to off or to loosen. Loose. Now I'm going to tell you what that scripture says to me. It says that if I don't practice forgiving like Jesus did, I will never be forgiven. Now I got some news for you. The unforgiven are not going to be able to make it into heaven. And I know, preach to me all you want to, but here's a scripture right in front of you. Well, I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in Him so much that He says, if you do what I do, you'll be free? Or do you just think this is a one-sided covenant, a contract, and it's required of nothing of you? Jesus didn't owe you forgiveness. He came down and gave it to you. You didn't deserve it. And then you say, I'm Christ-like. I'm a Christian. Oh, really? You've fully forgiven the world in advance. You don't even know what's coming, and you've already said, Father, forgive them. Well, I remember that one guy. You're a sinner. I'm going to just be point blank. If you're holding sin against somebody else, you are the sinner. Because you have not entered into that life, the way, the truth, and the life. You're not Jesus-like. You're the devil-like. He's the one that wants to take people to hell. Broke, busted, and disgusted. I want to run over about 20 things here. I hope I can do them fast. Keys to forgiveness. Number one, you can't do it. That's not number one. Let's just cover that one. It's the whole umbrella here. You can't do it alone. Jesus didn't do it alone. He said, Father. Father. That's kind of like saying, help. He was under a lot of pressure. All right. Now we'll jump to number one. You've got to know the forgiver. Really know the forgiver. An intimate relationship so much that you knew it was easy. Salvation and forgiveness was easy. How many of you really had a hard time getting saved? How hard did you have to work at it? Did you have to crawl 20 miles on your knees and hands and go up to some wall and kiss it for 30 years? Did you have to slash yourself, beat yourself like a lot of goofy religions? Did you have to kill all your animals and burn them in a fire? In other words, it was pretty easy for you. All you had to do is admit you were a sinner. That's what you're told. Well, my scripture says you got to believe. Believe this. Jesus made it easy for you. Number two, know that if it's easy for you, you must make it easy for others. We got a selfish, selfish religion. We want God to make it easy for us, but hard on somebody else. We don't want to have to pay any bill, but God, could you please kick the out of that guy? Come on. You're safe saying that's me, but at least say, oh man. Amen, not oh man. Number three, you must, to make your salvation real, you must know how hard it was for Jesus. Do you understand? You cannot forgive somebody easily unless you know how hard it was for Jesus to do it. By the way, a little word for you. You're not special. You're not special. Let me tell you what I meant by that. Well, I'm not as bad as he is. Oh, you're trying to be special. You're trying to make it easier for you so it can be harder for him. You hear me? I've lived a better life, so I'm not sinning anymore. He's just sinning every day in thought, word, and deed. Kill him, God. You think that since it would make God happy to squash him like a bug, you know it'd make you happy. So now we're in unity. No, let me tell you something. God's going to take care of everybody individually. You make sure you take care of you. Amen? I don't care. I don't care how bad they did you. You've got to learn to forgive. Number four, know that it is important to God so important that if we do not forgive, we are not forgiven. That's what the Scripture said, right? This is not a suggestion. God says you must forgive or you will not be forgiven. Is that what the Scripture said? I didn't misinterpret it, right? We have to know. I told my wife this the other day and it kind of blew me away. God loves you. He just loves you tremendously. But He doesn't love you so much that He won't forget His Word. Some of us goofy parents, we'll just threaten the hound out of kids and then we forget about it. God will love you, but He will never forget His covenant, His Word. It's the rule book. If you do this, I'll do this. Or I'll do this if you'll do this. That's a covenant. That's what a contract is. You don't have a contract in the world that says, you get everything, you don't have to do anything, I'll do it all, don't worry. You don't have a contract like that, ever. You've never found one. You haven't found one in Christ Jesus yet either. He made it easy, but I'll tell you what, there's been some people I've had to struggle with about forgiveness. I'm not going to say it's all been real easy. I was reminded today, again, you know, I have to forgive me for the pressures that I put on me. Come on. There's some kind of spirit out there that makes me feel like that I have to accomplish certain things or I'm not quite up to the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I'm sorry. Stan, you need to let yourself out of that. That wasn't part of the covenant. So let's don't partake of that. Don't get involved there. Just so I have to say, Stan, I am forgiven in advance, but I want to be like Jesus. I never saw Him live loosey-goosey. I never saw Him saying, I can lie this instant. Just for this particular case. God, since they're so bad and I'm so good, I'll just tell a little fib here. I had somebody tell me one time that I'll just do it and ask for forgiveness. You know how it works. Oh, no, I don't. You're not going to... No. When Jesus died on the cross, it cost too much to treat it like that. Number five. Know that unforgiveness, holding grudges, is death and destruction to the holder of the grudge. Did you hear me? Let me say it another way. It's the covenant. It's part of the covenant. It's a promise of God that if you hold back forgiveness, if you hold grudges, it will bring death and destruction to you. It may not do anything to the one you're holding the grudge against. Probably won't affect them at all. They got their own problems. Let them deal with it. You're not going to increase or decrease their problems. Well, I'm not going to say that for sure. I really believe that forgiving people releases them from a lot of death and destruction. And in my hands, I don't particularly want anybody to die. Number six, there will be no unforgiveness, no grudges in heaven. What are you saying, Stan? I already know that. No. You missed it. You're not taking any into heaven. Let me say that way. You're not taking any with you. If they're there, you're not going. That's what the Scripture said. Forgive and you shall be forgiven. But I promise you, there'll be no grudges in heaven. Well, you don't know what that so-and-so did to me. Let's keep it that way. Forgive them. Loose them. Let them free. Because what that does is it sets you free. It sets you free. Number seven. Jesus forgives. He is the way, the truth, and the life. By the way, there is no other Jesus. There's only one way, one truth, and one life, and one covenant. Our job is to mimic Him. I must be the forgiver. If I'm not, I have a father called Satan. It's that simple. Satan has come to what? Kill, steal, destroy. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, who's my father? I must know, how can I say this where you'll understand? I must believe with all my heart that there's nothing too big for God to forgive. Me either. If there wasn't anything too big for Jesus to forgive, then I can't claim that there's something too big for me to forgive. I just can't do it. It's a lie from hell. And it'll take you there. Now, I know we don't like this, but that clown that they've got in jail right now that abducted that little girl and kept her for 18 years and fathered two children by her, and it looks like he may have killed some others. There's nothing too big for God to forgive. So therefore, there's nothing too big for me to forgive. Well, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask you to feel like it. The Bible commands you to do it or you will not be forgiven. Well, you mean all I've got to do is say you're forgiven? Well, you may have to do it 7 times 7 a day. That formula was put in there for a reason. It's like some of these things are going to bug you, and you have to forgive as much and as often until it's no longer bugging you. It's the way it is. Number 10, Jesus forgave the world even before sin reigned in most. Forgiveness cannot be allotted to crime size. Did you get it? If you want to talk to God about how big that person sinned against you, He's not listening. There's only one sin, and that's disobedience. So you not forgiving is as big a sin as you killing 35 people. God is never fair. He's always right. Fairness is in our warped minds. So don't say, God, this is not fair, because that makes you a judge of fairness and you're not capable. Forgiveness in your part, in Jesus' part, is never considered according to the crime. All sin is pre-forgiven to those that will forgive. All sin is pre-forgiven to those that will forgive. Maybe what I just said is because of what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit's going to help you forgive what Jesus has already done. Does that make sense? See, the person that's offending you, Jesus has already forgiven them. So you need to get on His side and say, well, I'm surely not going to argue against Jesus. So you're forgiven. How many times? As often as it keeps me forgiven. Number 11. Forgiving all is the true sign of being forgiven. You can run around and tell everybody how great and glorious your salvation is, but if you haven't forgiven everybody, you are not totally forgiven. Some of you act like you're mad at me about this. Either that or you ate a lemon. I don't know. You really need to consider this as a truth that will set you free, because it's Jesus' way, the truth, and the life. If you want way, truth, and life, you've got to do it the way Jesus did it. Number 12, a biggie. Forgiveness cannot be earned. Right, Becky? Forgiveness cannot be earned. It can only be given. No penance, no obligation process, no repetition, no pain, no payment will get you forgiven. It can only be given. You can't earn forgiveness. When Jesus was on the cross, we got forgiven because He gave it. And then He said, now you got to give it, or you won't be forgiven. I hope I say this enough to where it gets deep in your mind. If you don't do it, if we don't do it the way Jesus did it, we are not forgiven. If you're waiting for somebody to come apologize to you, you are sinning against Jesus Christ Himself. Because that person didn't get a chance to go up to the foot of the cross and look up at Jesus and say, please forgive me. Number 13. If I have to think and struggle about forgiveness, it's a sin. I need to repent. I didn't hear any ouches. So I know you're all in agreement. I either stepped on your toes or you said, yeah. These are things that I had to think about today. If I have to struggle with forgiveness, it's a sin and I need to repent. Jesus, I am sorry that I'm battling with your command to me. I'm going to be quicker about this. I don't care what the offense is. This church has lost a lot of friends because they are carrying unforgiveness. Nearly everybody you can think of that has left this house is carrying unforgiveness. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's how we handle it. I don't stop it at saying they need to repent. I need to say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If they don't know what they're doing, then I need to feel sorry for them. Not say, ha, 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 they know what they're doing. Because that sounds like I'm full of joy, because it's like saying they're fixing to run head on into concrete embankment. Whether that's true or not, it's not up to you. In fact, you're going to feel bad if it happens. You should. Verse 14. Holding an offense is bondage in me and them. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. So my offense, or the thing that has offended me, has got me bound up because I'm not forgiven. And it's got them bound up because I'm standing in the way of their forgiveness. There's no bondage in heaven, so I can't take my bondage with me. I just have to choose not to go. If it's important for you to get even, choose not to go to heaven. Because I don't want, Jesus doesn't want, the Father doesn't want that kind of nonsense in heaven. We should, above all things, want everybody in the world saved. Verse number 15. The only way to the Father, our life eternal, is through Jesus. Jesus was the price paid for forgiveness. And it wasn't forced on him. Jesus was the price that was paid, but he gave it. So whatever it costs you to forgive, it's not as much as it cost Jesus. And he got the whole kingdom. That's the other thing. If you want to follow Jesus, because he forgave, he got the kingdom. You want the kingdom? Forgive. You, me, everybody, from here forward and backwards and up and down and all around, I'm just forgive. 16, if we want blood covenant. You know what I'm referring to? Blood covenant. That is what Jesus paid to establish the promise of salvation, the contract of salvation. If we want blood covenant, or we want to be forgiven, we must know that it takes forgiveness on my part, or I negate the salvation contract. Oh, you can't do that, Stan. Baloney. Once saved, always saved, won't hold water. You die daily. I work out my salvation with fear and trembling on a daily basis. This is the covenant we have. It's a valuable covenant. It's worth working for. If you don't think that Jesus isn't working on our behalf on a moment-by-moment basis, you're mistaken. So I at least need to work on a moment-by-moment basis to maintain the relationship. I will not be so foolish to allow somebody that doesn't like me to get in the way of my blood covenant. Can't believe how many Christians are detoured away from a blood covenant, a blessing covenant, by one little offense. It comes in strange forms. The other day, I'll give you an example. The other day, I ran into somebody I hadn't seen for a long time, hasn't liked me forever. It hasn't affected me at all, by the way. And I was trying to explain something to him, and I probably got a little forceful. I said, maybe you didn't understand me. This is what I said. And I said it again. And man, his temper went off like that. There's a guy's about this tall. Now he walks over to me and he gets right on my nose right here and he starts touching my face. Just like this. And I don't know how in the world I did that, but I said, thank you. And he said, for what? I said, you just committed assault on me and now I can put you in jail. I said, you got 5 minutes to do what I ask you to do or I'm calling 911 right now. It didn't take 5 minutes. He knew by the power of God, let's be the truth, if I can control the situation, then God's in control. He backed up. He did what I asked him to do. And then sent word saying, that's why I never want to do with him. That's why we're going to move out of South Texas. We want nothing to do with him. Well, hurt me. Well, I care where he lives. I didn't wish him out of South Texas. If I would have held a grudge and said, I want him out of, I'll do everything I can to get him out of South Texas, wouldn't have done a bit of good. It'd have kept me in bondage and him too. I promise you, if you will do what Jesus did, God will work on your behalf in any and all situations. He will turn what was meant for bad to good. It'll work. That is kind of funny. Anyway, number 17. Forgiving all releases me into all. You understand? Forgiving all offenses releases me into all abundance, all provisions, all that the contract offers. The only right you have to any blessing is according to the covenant, the contract. You don't have it because you go out here and ask for it. The reason you need to learn the word is because it's the covenant. It's your contract. You have every right to get what's in that contract, good or bad. And there's bad in the contract. There's hell in the contract. Stay away from that nonsense. Forgive. Now you have every right to ask for every way, truth, and life. Everything that pertains to life and godliness. All health, all provision that Jesus paid for. Come on, you can get excited about that. It won't hurt you. Number 18. Unforgiveness or holding grudges, listen carefully, puts me in the way of God. He can't do with me or through me what He wants to do as long as I'm in the way. If I think that I'm smarter than Him, if I think that I know this situation better than Him, if I think that I have a better way than Him, and if I just hold on a little longer, I'll get even, and then I'll ask for forgiveness. No. You're in God's way of all blessings, all provisions. You're in the way. Well, I don't know why God doesn't bless me. I do. You're holding something against somebody. Maybe you, maybe your father. You know what irks me? People, Christians, make excuses. Some historical happening for the reason they do something today. That's unforgiveness. Do I need to be more clear? My father did this. My husband did this. My wife did this. My ex-pastor did this. Blah, blah. Shut up! You are walking in unforgiveness. See, forgiveness causes those things to be cast as far as the east is from the west. You have no excuse for sinning. You have no excuse for doing something wrong because that is removed. Who removed it? You did when you said free. Now, Pastor Doyle likes to say, anybody in here done wrong? Has been done wrong? So everybody raises their hand, of course. Well, how do you remember? How do you remember? How do you know it was wrong when God was busy changing it to good as long as you were walking in forgiveness? You must have determined that it was wrong, therefore you have some unforgiveness to deal with. Oh man, he stole this much money. Oh really? It all belongs to God. How can it be stolen from you? The only way it can be is for you to pronounce it was stolen. It's part of your contract. You have dominion. Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. What you say, you will have. So if this mountain or this offense or this grudge or this pain is still there, you haven't told it to leave, to loose it. Well, you don't know what my father did to me. You don't know what I don't want to know, and you don't need to know either. It evidently is not helping you at all. Get rid of it. You'd be better off in your own mind to not have a father or a brother that would hold you back from heaven. If you don't think God can't heal your mind, you are mistaken. He can heal your mind. He can fix your memory. I'm a living example. I promise you. I promise you I've had some stuff that I don't remember. Do I remember? What do you mean? Well, historically I knew it happened, but there's no feeling in it. I'm not even there. I don't have to explain this to you. It's the way it is. I know that there's some things happened in my life because it's written down. But I don't have any knowing of it. I'm not intimate with that. I'm intimate with forgiven. So I can't be intimate with unforgiveness. Memory is unforgiveness. You know, let me tell you, dangerous unforgiveness. Well, you know, about 10 years ago, she was in a bind and she couldn't pay her rent, so I gave her rent money. Praise God. Oh, yeah? How come I still remember that? I haven't said it wasn't mine anyway, it's yours. Don't worry about it. The enemy is subtle. He's subtle. Anything, your memory is your enemy. Your memory is your enemy. Generally speaking, your memory is your enemy because it does not want to forget offenses. It only wants to remember bad things. Good things are a lot harder to bring back. That's why you overcome with the word of your testimony, because it reminds you and reminds you and reminds you. You'll finally not forget it. Good stuff. Forgiveness is not based on equality. It's not based on fairness. It's based on givenness. A new word. You can take a little baby and raise them in a little ball so they never feel air. And then never allow them to commit sin, never do drugs, never alcohol, never, no. And their salvation costs the same as a dirty, rotten, murdering pond scum. And when God the Father, when Jesus said, they're forgiven, He didn't base it on equality. Well, this one I'll give a better salvation. This one I'll give a quicker salvation than this one. No. So I have no right to do it that way. I know some pond scum. Doesn't everybody? Maybe. My granddad used to say, have you checked with them today? Lots of truth right there. Number 19. I can and must forgive those that never seek forgiveness from me or God. Now listen carefully. I'll say it again. I can and must forgive those that never seek forgiveness from me or God. And if I do, or because I obeyed, He will use those to bless me and the kingdom. Don't ask me to explain this formula. But the most dirty, rotten outfit, in fact, I just described one to you a while ago, are the dumbest of them. I don't care. If I forgive them, He will use them to bless me. It's the only way He can. Otherwise, unforgiveness has blocked all blessing. Bring that forgiveness, get that unforgiveness out of the way, and the blessings overtake me. Why? Because the covenant can now perform and will. Know the truth, be the truth, and be set free. You understand this? I started off and I'm ending. If you know Jesus, you know the way, the truth, and the life. That doesn't mean you shook hands. That doesn't mean you read His book. Knowing means you had an intimate relationship with Him and still have it. And when He hurts, you know it. And when you don't know what you're doing, He will tap you at the dinner table and say, write this down. Study it. Think on these things. Meditate on what I'm telling you. Not mad, just wants you to be more free. Not mad, just wants you to have a better grasp on the covenant. Y'all believe in the covenant? Then you must believe it's two-sided. Okay. Call it a two-edged sword. It's there not to cut you up, but to separate you from flesh and the world. So some old guy gets up right in your face, and a few years ago he wouldn't have got by with that. I'd have thought so fast about putting him on the floor that I wouldn't have had a chance to forgive him. Instead, his quick anger, made me so surprised that I was easy to forgive him. In fact, I thanked him. He gave me the tool I needed to enforce what I wanted. Come on. It wasn't in my mind. It wasn't a trap set. It was just boom. That's the way God is. Enter into the covenant correctly. That means forgive. If you can't do anything else, forgive. And you watch God work on your behalf. Because now He's truly dealing with an individual that's after His own heart. Are you about tired of hearing about forgiveness? I don't think we should get tired. Not until we get it down. So how many times are we going to speak of this? Until we get it. Evidently, Jesus, when He talked to me, He felt like I hadn't had it yet. Maybe it's just for me. Maybe y'all are just so good about this, it's only about me. But I don't want you to miss it. But in case you do, I forgive you. In case you're just hard-headed and stubborn, you're going to hold that grudge, I forgive you anyway. I don't want to be part of what you're doing, but I forgive you. Part of loosing a thing is not being part of it. If you want to know the true definition of loosing or forgiving, it's I'm not having any part of this. That's right. One of the words is separation. That means if I don't forgive, I enter into this offense with you. If I forgive you and back up, you own it by yourself. By the way, now I've just gotten out of the way of God. Do you understand that a lot of times offenses can keep the Holy Spirit from talking to somebody? You know how it happens? That person knows they did me wrong. And when the Holy Spirit comes and says, I want to forgive you, they say, you can't be forgiven for that. But if they know that I've already forgiven, then that is out of the way of God. Now there's only one person to blame, and that's themselves. Amen? All right. That's long enough. What you say, it's just right. Forgive me for what? I didn't ask for forgiveness. You can loose me and I go another hour. This is exciting to me. I don't have a lot of people to go out and forgive. But some of the things that I mentioned, I'm probably going to have to deal with. I can think of a few things that I know people are after me right now. Forgive them. Therefore, I can forget them. If I can forgive them, I can forget them. You're setting yourself up for... I'm not setting myself for anything but blessings. If I've got a grudge against you, He has every right to come and sneak attack on me before I attack Him. That's the way the carnal mind works. I'm going to get him before he gets me. Well, let's let the spiritual mind. You're forgiven. I got you first. In forgiveness, that's the way it's got to be. You got to do to others before they forget, before they do to you. So we all are getting into competition. Well, see, who is the fastest to forgive? If you're like Christ, you did. He forgave me before you even met me. I thought about that today, and I'm serious. I need to concentrate on forgiving the coming offenses. I just forgive them now. I make a commitment to God that no matter what comes, I'm going to forgive it. It's already forgiven. I've already loosed it. I'll be no part of an offense. Why? So the blessings can come freely. So that I'm out of the way of God and I can minister freely. I don't want to have somebody come up and say, help. And I have to say, just a minute, I've got to pray a little bit and get this out of the way before I can help you. Come on. You know why most of us get in trouble when somebody needs help? Why we kind of, oh my God, what am I going to do? It's because we haven't got things clear at that moment. Our understanding, our forgiveness, our heart's not exactly prepared. I'm even ready to run into the biggest buzzsaw that God has. Come on. Well, see, you can't just have the glorious things come into a church. This is the place for people in trouble. This is the forgiving place. Even for Looney Tunes that are asking you some of the dumbest, most obvious questions in the world. Stomping their feet when you tell them the truth. Don't be political because that's an offense. The truth is the way, the truth, and the life. Way, truth, and life. One Jesus, one way, one truth, one life. You're not it. Your truth is not it. Your forgiveness is not it. You have to enter into the forgiveness. And don't, one other thing. Don't enter into a sin in the name of forgiveness. Can you think of anything like that? Don't be friendly with sin in the name of forgiveness. If you know something is dead wrong, you got to say, I'm not going there. You know the truth. If you don't know it, I'll bring some scripture to you and tell you. Come on. Forgiveness is not a reason to be silent. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. What are you? Quiet? You want to know if the Holy Spirit, if you're forgiven, it's the ability to speak to somebody about their sin without condemnation. And don't enter in. Don't enter in. All right, stand with me. Well, I don't know how inspiring this was, but it was truth. I'd rather you get a little angry with me now and make it to heaven. You don't have to get angry with me, but you have to make it to heaven. If not, the Holy Spirit will tell me something that will deal with you. I don't believe He spoke that just to me. I don't believe it. That's why I said God spoke to me, and now you've heard it. I need everybody to say, that's for me. Okay. Father, you heard what they said. I did my little part so that you could do your big part according to the covenant. According to the covenant. You said for the foolishness of preaching. Well, I volunteer. This is truth that I've spoken. Now let the truth set them free. Let the truth in them, the freedom in them, set other people free. Let all problems, situations, grudges be released now in Jesus' name. And for those that we've forgotten, Holy Spirit, please be faithful to our willingness. We want to hear those things so that we can release them. Let nothing be between you and I. Let nothing be between this church and the Holy Spirit. Nothing. Aggressively work to clear us, make our consciences clear, so that people can walk here with any sin, and they are forgiven. We love you, Lord. More than that, we trust you. We thank you for the covenant. We thank you that it works. We're looking forward to the blessings as you teach. We're looking forward to the covenant opening up. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling right now. There's joy, joy, joy. Thank you, Lord. And that draws people in. We're not sour-faced and looking to get even. We're just full of joy. We leave here changed tonight. Never be the same. Say, I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Everybody agrees, says amen. Thank you for your time.